Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome to another Brick in the Wall with Alistair Anderson, Editor-in-Chief of Property Flash. And I think we've only got about three episodes left till the end of the year. Cannot believe it. Today, we're talking about green buildings, which, lest anyone be confused, is not a reference to the colour paint at Builder's Warehouse, but it's the smarter, climate-friendly revolution that's been sweeping the property sector. And it's a timely discussion because the Green Building Council of South Africa has just unveiled its incoming CEO. Lisa Reynolds hands the reins to someone equally formidable, Georgina Smit. Georgina has collected postgrad degrees the way it looks like most developers collect town planning delays. Cambridge, Stellenbosch, she's been with Arup, she's been everywhere. She seems to have done everything, certified half of it, and is now stepping up to shape the next chapter of South Africa's green built environment. So Georgina, great to have you on another Brick in the Wall. Let's just start with the kind of headline moment. You're stepping into the CEO role in May next year. What's the one thing you're inheriting from Lisa that makes you go, thank goodness? And also, with only 5 years until 2030 and the net zero milestone, what is your immediate focus going to be?
Thank you, Michael, and thanks so much for having me on the show. I think Lisa has left an amazing legacy in terms of her leadership, and the one thing that I'm delighted to be inheriting is an amazing team. I think, you know, we've all heard the saying that if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, you know, go with a team and go with a group of people. And right now I've got a team that I can really trust. They're amazing. And I think we've really been through a lot in the last 5 years and grown together. So I'm really excited about making magic and more magic with the GBCSA team. So for me, that's a real positive. And yes, our 2030 deadline is looming. And in theory, we've already exceeded our threshold. So I think for me, in terms of a key vision that I'd like to drive, and we have been trying to do that at the GBCSA, is really making sure that every single building does start its sustainability journey in South Africa. You know, that's getting everybody started thinking about their energy and their water security, understanding how they can bake in resilience measures, how they're looking at their buildings to make them more healthy. But we've got to get every building in South Africa thinking about climate change and how they're going to adapt to it.
So tell me, Georgina, when we talk net zero 2030, who is that applying to? Because I'm aware that some of the large landlords have all got different targets. I suppose Cape Town and Joburg got different targets. Your members have different targets. I mean, where are we sitting and what's realistic maybe for the rest of this decade?
So in terms of the net zero targets, we've got to make sure that all of our new buildings, regardless of where they're built, whether it's Johannesburg, whether it's Cape Town, eThekwini, any building that comes out of the ground from 2030 onwards needs to be designed so that it can operate as net zero carbon. And by the time we get to 2050, we need to have converted the entire globe's property stock, so all of our existing buildings, into net zero buildings. So it's a formidable task. And, you know, the science has proven that if we can convert all of the existing stock by 2050, it means that we will then divert our trajectory from a climate perspective away from that 1.5 degree rise, which is going to bring a lot of ecosystem decline and failure. So, yes, I mean, we need many more buildings still to convert to net zero. And, I would say that we really only touched the tip of the iceberg. You know, we're probably sitting at about a 5 to 10% of our property market that is, you know, actively pursuing these net zero goals. So there is definitely a large portion of our buildings that still need to understand that net zero is part of their journey, and it's also an amazing opportunity for the future.
Now, every dinner table conversation about green building eventually arrives at the same villain, that it costs 10% more. The IFC data says that most people wildly overestimate that. Why does this myth hang around like a bad tenant who just won't leave, Georgina?
Ah, I love that analogy. And yes, this is a real issue in green buildings. And it's probably the question I get asked the most, you know, in public forums is, you know, what does it cost to go green? And, you know, green is too expensive to pursue. The GBCSA has spent the last 16 years actually conducting research with local data from QSs in partnership with the University of Pretoria and the ASAQS to determine that that cost premium to go green is actually much lower than expected, and it's declining. So the latest research indicates that that cost premium is sitting at about 2%, but it could be as low as less than 0.5% for four-star green star buildings. So going green does not have to be cost prohibitive in any mean or form. We are delivering cost-effective green buildings in South Africa right now.
And Georgina, you, your organization hosted its annual convention last week in Cape Town. So I believe that was the 18th GBCSA convention. How well was it received, and how does it kind of compare with 2007, if I'm right, that was the first one? And what does it kind of mean for your tenure? Because are we starting to sit on a stage where people from Africa want to come to discuss green buildings with us, but also internationals? I mean, it feels as if South Africa definitely holds its own among many countries with the kind of tools we use, our certifications. Or do you think there's some way to go before we, you know, really put our name out there?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. The GBCSA convention is, yes, it is our, it was our 18th convention. So officially we can have a glass of wine or champagne now. And it was absolutely amazing. It attracted, you know, more than 800 delegates from both South Africa, but also Africa. And I think it had an incredible diversity of topics and speakers and content. I think one of the strong themes that, you know, came through was the human element, and that buildings are for people. And, you know, that that part of green building design really demonstrates the value. And yes, so we have seen a lot of growth since the green building conventions came around. And I was actually at, you know, those first ones, and they've been a big part of my career. And I think some of the changes that I've seen are that we are increasingly attracting a much broader audience. I actually mentioned to one of my colleagues that at this year's convention, there were so many faces that I didn't recognize, which, you know, is obviously a sign that we have a lot of newcomers to our space, which is really encouraging, because we would love for people to understand that green buildings are not just about doing things differently, and such for the tree huggers and, you know, like the hippies out there. It's really about understanding that that's actually the way business needs to operate going forward, and it's important for your business continuity. So we're seeing really positive changes, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more fun and a lot more international attention in that regard in time to come.
And I think we can actually be very proud, Georgina, as South Africa, as the continent's green building leader. I mean, you look at the numbers, we've got over 2 million square meters certified, and we've got real measurable savings, 76 million kilowatt hours. That's 5,300 households worth. So real momentum behind it. But you've spoken about bringing more of the unconverted on board. Who are the unconverted as you see them? Is it developers, investors? Is it the procurement officers? And what do you see as finally persuading the unconverted? What kind of data are you going to bring to the conversation to say this is more than just tree hugging and bragging rights?
Mm. So in terms of the unconverted, it's really bringing government on board. So, you know, one of the highlights at our convention was the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Dean McPherson, announced that the department has become a member, and several of the department or government members are going to do training through GBCSA Academy, but also committed to a lot of sustainability goals. And, you know, government owns 80,000 plus buildings. They are, in effect, the biggest land owner in South Africa. So yeah. I think collaborating with and getting government on board and supporting their sustainability journey is definitely part of the GBCSA's trajectory and, you know, who we have in mind in terms of partners and where we want to really try and drive impact. But I think it's also around owner-occupiers, looking beyond the major REITs and the big listed funds to understand, you know, kind of, and also outside of our metros, you know, where people are recognizing that green buildings actually allow them to save money from an electricity perspective, and importantly, yeah, in South Africa, a water security perspective. So, yeah, you know, if you've got that need a lot of water and you've got a small little shopping complex, how does a green building contribute to keeping that small shopping center open? So I think it's around understanding what are the energy and water security benefits, but then also thinking about the future impacts of climate change and how green buildings can future-proof your buildings from becoming stranded assets. I think that's going to be a big way of bringing the unconverted on board.
Maybe you could help me understand this a little bit better as well. So, you know, obviously with new design techniques, if you build a building from scratch to be more sustainable, it can use less energy, less water, cool more naturally. I understand that. But surely the greenest building is a building that's already been built, because all of that carbon has already been sunk into that building, and you're not going to have to go and erect something new and incur all of the energy costs and everything else that comes along with it. And the reason I ask you that is because, you know, you look at the stock in the CBD of Joburg, for example, and surely just by rehabilitating that, if we had the political will and we could manage to do that, that would be the greenest solution.
Definitely. So you are quite correct. The greenest building is the one that has already been built. And the GBCSA and all of our green building frameworks that we have in South Africa really recognize that principle. So you'll find that you will award and understand, you know, how to bake in green elements when you're bringing a building out of the ground. But actually, the bulk of our green building ratings look at existing buildings, you know, and really try and incentivize that, or, you know, provide a lot of impetus to rethink that embodied carbon, you know, when you're redesigning a building. So yes, that, and I think that is really being recognized at the moment, because we are seeing a lot of retrofits or adaptive reuse examples coming through from developers in you know, thinking about that long life cycle cost of the building.
And Georgina, if we look at the tools and the tech around green, I mean, I'm wondering, is there a bit of a lag process on how fast it's accepted, I suppose, as it's tested? You know, obviously Lisa's tenure was 5 years, so that was through pandemic, and I guess a bit of recovery in the economy now. Hopefully there's optimism coming into 2026, also Africa, especially for property. I mean, I think seeing positive returns on listed funds. You know, I'm wondering, are you confident now that funds and developers will look at the new tech and kind of use it? And I'm just wondering, how far can you push it into the next few years? Or, I mean, that's a tough question, but how much further can green go, like in terms of evolving the tech? I mean, is it possible that this grows exponentially with what we can do? Or is it more a matter of using the tools we have now more extensively?
That's a great question. So definitely, I guess, in terms of my vision and what I would like to drive, I think that there's a lot of scope still for change and for tech updates that make things cheaper and more cost-effective and easier to use. And we are currently working on some solutions in that regard already. In terms of supporting industry with other types of products or to improve existing ones. So yes, I definitely think that there's an exciting future that includes tech-enabled kinds of frameworks to support building owners with their greening journey. And, you know, it obviously links into and plugs into the whole PropTech kind of development and evolution that we have seen already, which I think a lot of our South African developers have been really, really good at implementing and thinking about.
All right. Well, you've given us lots to think about, Georgina, not least of which that we're all green buildings, actually, because we're all embodied carbon at the end of the day. It depends just philosophically how you look at these things, but that's where we're going to have to leave it. Georgina Smith, thank you very much. Incoming CEO of the Green Building Council. In May, she starts, and it's great to see that we've got someone who actually reads the technical manuals voluntarily at the helm of this critical organization. And that's it for another episode of Another Brick in the Wall with me, Michael Avery, and my co-conspirator, as always, Alistair Anderson. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, in markets, as in green building, go gently and always keep it green.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.